You're listening to His Time on Monday, May 4th, 7:47 Central Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Bob Weiss. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners. I hope everybody's doing well.
Thank you. Doing well this morning. How about you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Hanging in there, just to use the old proverbial phrase, getting ready to go over and check on my 95-year-old mom, walk her dog, and let our husky play with the little Shih Tzu mix, and head back home, get ready for class, and off we go for the last couple of weeks of this term, graduation at both Concordia Seminaries, one in Fort Wayne and here in St. Louis, and then we have the summer teaching. So life is good, life goes on, and we all got things to do, you know, in Christ. So it's all kind of good, you know.
And this term, you're teaching what? Problems in what class are you teaching?
Problems in preaching. You know, it's interesting to digress just a little, and we may take the whole time up on this one too. But just to sort of digress here, one of the, I think the Martin Luther said the biggest problem with preachers is that is a lazy preacher, and one who doesn't study the text, one who kind of looks at it and says, "Well, yeah, I can handle it." You know, they become pretty arrogant and don't look at what's the main point of the text and how do I get this to the people. It's kind of like, now I know this may shock some of your listeners, but if we are to say, well, Jesus Christ died and rose for the forgiveness of your sins, and people sitting out in the pew are saying, so what? You know, how else do you get this to the listener so that not just impacts their life, but says, wow, so this is what's going on. And it has everything to do with being baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ and certainly the end time, so that when people talk about life after death, there's life before death and there's life after death. So it's kind of an interesting little situation. Today we're going to be, and maybe your listeners are interested in this. Today we're going to be, we read three books, basically to talk about them. One was called The Pitfalls of Preaching. One is Compassion in Preaching. And then the last one had to deal with suffering and preaching. And then we're sort of reviewing those books, and today I'm going to talk to the gentleman about what's going to be your first text when you preach at your installation, the week after your installation ordination. What will you say, and what are you going to share with God's people? Because now you're their called and ordained servant, or you're going to be their vicar, and you're going to be standing up there in the pulpit sharing the word of God. So, and some of them last week said, gee, I haven't thought much about that yet, which is understandable. They do have a few months to think about that. But it is going to be kind of a nerve-wracking situation for them. But by the grace of God, they'll get through it, and they'll keep it basic and share the word of God with them. So that's kind of what we do in a class. And then I'm going to end up the term about preaching in a biotech world, which is very difficult because most of what happens in a biotech world is certainly not covered by the scriptures, unless it deals with certainly elective abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, those things that certainly actively are taking the life of a human being. Those things are covered by the scriptures. Suicide is covered by the scriptures. But all this stuff about eugenics, making babies 28 ways, those things are not covered, you know, by the scriptures, and it becomes a bit of a challenge on how you deal with it. So always we have to go back to the basics, and isn't it true? We always go back to the basics, and everything that we've talked about on His Time on Monday morning, it really is always back to the basics. And I think that if people can remember that, and when they're pastors are preaching and teaching and sharing God's word with them at a visit, to go back to the basics, then we can recall our baptism And I think in our world today, with what's going on, with all of the turmoil across the world, with Christian persecution, murders, what's happened in Ferguson and Baltimore, and I heard some things in California this morning, and people kind of wondering, what is going on? Well, the good Lord in the scriptures told us what to expect, but that he would come like a thief in the night, because we know that, and this may sound a bit rough too, but death respects no person and no one, and we have to be dressed and ready. So that's kind of not necessarily what I wanted to chat about, but to take your segue into what's going on in the class at the seminary, with at least with Bob Weiss, that's kind of what I focus on in terms of dealing with all of these issues. And I've had some phone calls, just to let your listeners know, you know, this whole thing with same-sex marriage is really heating up again, and the assisted suicide issue is starting to heat up now. In California and other places. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of start off with that before we, I don't know if we have much time to get into other issues I've got going, but.
Sure, we've got about 5 minutes.
Oh, wow, good. One of the things that I have been learning in the area of biotechnology is, and I want to kind of tap into this, we sort of mentioned it once before, is what is a Christian to do when computer science takes over human reason? That is to say, we plug into our computers. Even I know a lot of, and I can say this at the age of 70, a lot of older adults have their computers and they do a lot of thinking for them. But what will we do when we have to start working with what's called artificial intelligence? I know the latest Avengers movie, although I have not seen it, deals with artificial intelligence. I also know that the Institute for Artificial Intelligence is working with NASA in this area. But I kind of wonder down the road when I'm thinking about my children and grandchildren and what computer science is doing these days, much of it's very, very good. But what are we going to be thinking about when people are going to be relying on computer science for reason, as opposed to searching the scriptures? What are we going to be doing? I see more people using and reading their Bibles from the computer. And I guess in some ways I'm an old fogey. I prefer the old buy the Bible, the paper kind, read it and mark it up. And I know you can do this with iPads, iPhones, Androids, and so forth, and computers. But I'm kind of wondering how are we going to deal with this, Andy, with because you and I have chatted a bit about this, with computers and our life in Christ, because computers demand a lot of time, and they demand and they open up a lot of issues for us that Satan can tempt us into, like pornography, and being consumed with a computer over against Christ. So I don't know if you have any additional comments on that, but I've been thinking about this, and I read a couple articles recently on this, about the use of computer science in theology and reasons.
I think that this is an ongoing conversation as technology and computers continue to, the way that we use digital technology today, as it continues to change, as it continues to grow and evolve, this is a conversation we'll continue to have. But it's important for us to understand everything around us, everything that we have around us, every good and perfect gift in this world is from our Heavenly Father, and we should see them as gift, right?
Well, correct, and I think we have lost a lot of the gift language, and if we're going to use this, and this is something that I'm sure I've said this before, but it has to be used in service to the Word of God, as we know in the Scriptures. And when it cannot be used, that we have to kind of leave it go and say, "I don't know," instead of using this phrase, which I really don't care much for. It's called, well, you know, Pastor Weiss, you know, Andy, this is a gray zone. I'm very much afraid of the use of that term, because that tends to leave the answer up to you. Well, but ultimately, when you give an answer, it's either going to be this or it's going to be that. So I don't think that, I think that when we get into the computers like everybody is doing and more it's happening, I agree with you. This is all a good gift. It is to be used to his glory, like St. Paul says in Colossians and 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, whatever you do all to the glory of God. And I think that it's good for people to understand that when we have all this technology in front of us and we can say, wow, this is phenomenal, what's going on here? But I think that if we get into some of these areas where we're changing and changes something that our culture is going through in this post-Christian, post-modern world, we have to make sure that it's in service to the Word of God. So therefore, people have to be reading and studying and searching the Scriptures, I believe, more frequently than we've ever done before.
Indeed.
With churches slowing down and people not coming to church, I think that we've got to find ways to get them into the Scriptures and to see the Lord as the Lord is, as our Savior, not just one who's trying to fix us.
Very good.
Computer.
Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss.
Okay.
God's blessings on your week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
And you and your listeners.
Thank you. Bye now.